Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening at 6:30, Monday through Friday, at 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, when I have the technical ability and time to produce the show. Briefly, I'll give you a little bit of background about myself, because I'm going to go into two topics tonight. One of them, I'm going to say a few words about my analysis of feminism. And let me make clear that I believe women should have equal opportunity of employment, so it's not an issue for me. But I want to take a look at feminism and give you some other ideas about it that it may not be such a good idea. I have spoken before about the Orthodox Christian faith, namely that Christianity has certain elements that are involved with our faith. And I did want to go, I've gone over some of them. I want to hit it again to make clear to all you people that Christianity is not a mere being a nice guy. It is much deeper and more involved in that particular point of view, which is, of course, it's good to be nice, but that's a social quality, and Christianity is not about your social interaction. It's much deeper and more profound in its presentation. I also want to go over my a little bit of my background. I have a politically incorrect show. I'm not interested in media lies, falsehoods, political rhetoric, or I'm interested in critical thinking and thinking hitting at truth and facts. I'm a Christian, and I follow the ancient creeds of the Church, the Nicene, the Athanasian, and Apostles' Creed, as well as I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture. These are not backward positions, but they are essential Christian positions, I think, for those who wish to be part of the Christian faith and be part of the Church. The Church's position is quite ancient, and we are not prepared as Christians, and the Church is not prepared to make changes unless the changes are mandated by the words of Christ or St. Paul or the biblical authority or some other element of the faith. Third, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and over 4,200 people have visited the podcast show, and many from both Muslims and China, atheist agnostic China, have visited these shows, which I'm very happy that my Muslim brothers and sisters are interested in Christian belief, or at least willing to listen to it. I have a young woman in Iran I'm in fairly constant contact with, who is an extremely able student of philosophy, Western philosophy, Plotinus, Plato, etc. Wonderful person in every way. I also have had a scientist from Istanbul on the show who opposed the theory of evolution and believed in creation as I do, as the true explanation of how things came into being. And I also am a writer, and I've written 10 books, and I've just finished a book on the Psalms, and I'm writing a book on the miracles and on the sayings of Christ and on a legal topic. Pre-trial demands and notices and hearings. That's three books, religious books, and I'm hoping to have the book on the Psalms in a book publisher soon. My books, Essays of the Christian Worldview and Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and the Parables have sold well. The book on Essays in Christian Worldview has had very wide national and international sales. And my book on the parables analyzes all 41 of the parables. And these have been placed on my website and social media. And also, I regularly analyze the gospel passages pertinent on the sayings and life of Christ. And these are being posted on my website and social media. I publish extensive journal articles by major journals such as the Syracuse Law Review and Academicus. And Academicus was bought by the State Department, and the Syracuse Law Review article on criminal procedure was bought by the State Department and by the United States Supreme Court. And both of these have been bought by many, many, many dozens of European and the American University Libraries, I'm pleased to say. And my latest article on academics is on the United States educational system, and the previous one was on sex discrimination. I oppose, of course, as a Christian, any form of racial feelings. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong, and I don't wish to be involved with it. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to talk about a little bit about a topic that I hit a few days ago called orthodoxy. Christian faith, in my view, first of all, G.K. Chesterton, a wonderful Christian writer, wrote a fantastic little book called Orthodoxy, which he traced the journeys, what he referred to as the common Christian faith, he called the Orthodox Christian faith, and which is the elements of the Christian truth as is presented. And many Christians, ever since the Enlightenment in the 18th century, have kind of watered down the Christian faith. The confusion is so great that many only believe that Christianity is some sort of a love and tolerance fest and nothing more. I'd like to say a few words about the Orthodox Christian faith, or the deposit of faith. As a starting point, we believe that God created the world. Second thing is, there's another world beyond our present material world. The third principle is that God created the world and did so out of his love. The fourth is that God revealed himself initially in the Hebrew Bible and then in the further revelation in the New Testament. There are other things in connection with orthodoxy, including the virgin birth, the miracles of Christ in the Bible, and a number of other matters that I'd like to go into, which include the deposit of faith, such as the Trinity, God exists in three persons. The element of Christian faith is the sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper, and the idea that Jesus will return again to make a judgment on the world. This is a brief summary of what I believe is the Orthodox Christian faith. I'm not an astute theologian, although I have a theological degree. I'm not particularly sophisticated in this area of thinking. But it's quite clear that the Christian faith system is far, far more than a few loving words of encouragement or some sort of politically correct tolerance in which the world tries to convince us that everybody and all and everything is okay and all faiths are good and valid. It is quite clear that things are not okay, and things are actually very bad, such as the fact that even in civilized Western countries, we have to have laws to control human nature. Without laws, it would be impossible. Life would be impossible, which indicates to me that human beings, far from being pleasant and nice, given the slightest bit of power, are brutal and intolerable. So I think the facile position that things are getting better and better and people are very nice and Christianity is about liking and loving people, I think that's absurd. Christianity or orthodoxy provides an explanation of the world. That it is a sin-encased place. It is obvious. There have been 6 or 7 genocides in the past 100 world. The world is a jungle in which the strong survive and the weak die. Christianity provides an explanation for this in the fall of man into sin and the presence of sin. So, I think the thought system of the world today is rather shallow. It's really about materialism. And I find materialism quite poverty-stricken in thinking. For all its failings, Christian orthodoxy, it is clear that the world is a mess. At the hands of uncontrolled human nature, it is a world in sin, and Jesus offers an alternative. All right, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, if you could find a better explanation of why the world is so bad, and knowing that it is so bad, you know there's a problem of sin, and you know that Christianity provides an explanation for this and a solution to it in Christ. Christianity is not a matter of being nice. It is not a matter of being pleasant. It is not a matter of tolerance. It is not a matter of some sort of shallow, facile position that all religions are the same and people are really nice. The fact is the world is a jungle and it's a bad, evil place. And this explanation of Christian belief is far more reasonable than political correctness. And I have to say, at the present time in the thought system in the world, at least in the West, it's very shallow. For many people, materialism is as far as they wish to go, establishing any life principles beyond themselves. So I find materialism unsatisfying and quite unhelpful. However, I want to talk about something else now, my dear friends and thinkers. Let us reason together by our critical faculties and try to understand the political and commercial forces that govern our system, feminism. In fact, in two of my books, I've given thought and an analysis to the feminist movement. In my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, published by Hamilton Book, I analyze and critique the feminist movement on page 77 and 78. And in my further book, entitled Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, in chapters 45 and 54, I offered a similar analysis and gave my thoughts about feminism. And that book was published by UPA. I noted in these books, I think it's important to understand that women have been and were historically treated with underclass status in the West. And other places, they still are. And for a very long period of time, given no options, confined to the home and family, and not given opportunities for employment or the full use of their talents. I'm extremely glad that that situation has been corrected and that our society has the benefit now of the full use of the talents of half the human race. So I'm really quite happy that the historical treatment of women of underclass status, being confined to home and family, and being given no opportunities for employment for the use of their talents, has been rightly corrected, and that our society and our world, more and more, I'm happy to say, has the full use of the talents of half the human race. But I want to say that one bad effect of the feminist movement was the loss of the concept of romantic love. That is, women were put on a pedestal and pursued and courted. This was a factor in Western culture for almost 1,500 years, and I think feminism has eliminated that, which is not good, because without romance, without a romantic relationship based on courtship and love, the relationship is quite deficient, I think. It doesn't work as well. However, another factor that I think is bad about feminism is that it ignores and doesn't respect the great contribution of women as wives and mothers in the home front and family. It ignores it, the great contribution of women as wives and mothers in the home front. And in fact, I think some women, not all, maybe the ones not so smart, have adopted a somewhat sharp-edged masculine personal presentation, thinking that that's how men are. In fact, some are and some aren't. But as I say, it's resulted in the elimination of romantic love as a factor, which has governed the relationship between the sexes in Western culture for some 1,500 years, and which can be seen in such great books as The Fairy Queen by Edmund Spenser, which is a tremendous presentation of romantic love. And also, feminism has had the effect of ignoring and not respecting the great contribution of women as wives and mothers in the home front. And as I say, some women in this movement mistakenly and foolishly have adopted what they think is a sharp-edged masculine personal presentation. So let me talk a little more about the denigration of women in the home front. I think the feminist movement involves, in some way, a lack of respect for women and the female role as mothers and home creators and maintainers. In the past, women who were mothers were accorded great respect. And in some sense, feminism has its roots, to a certain extent, in a lack of respect for Wives and Mothers and Homemakers, which has been the female role for some quite a bit of time, and still is in many places, and even in the United States is. And the feminist movement has kind of forced women to compete in the workplace with men. Not sure that's good. Maybe good, it may be bad, but that's what happened. So I think feminism has as its roots in a lack of respect for women and their function as wives and homemakers, and has forced them to compete in the male-dominant employment arena. So as I say, it has resulted in the end of Atlantic love. It has ignored the great contribution of women as wives and mothers, and as men, and has forced women to adopt a competitive masculine presentation. Feminism, I think, involves a lack of respect for women and the female role as mothers and home creators. They are entitled to respect, and feminism has its roots in denigrating that role and lacks respect for it, forcing women to compete in the workplace and changing their role in the form of the male role, the tough aggressor and provider. So she sort of has become like a guy in the world, rather than maintaining the home and family and having respect for that role. They've kind of adopted the male role as a tough aggressor and provider. The woman of today, in addition, has been an object of pleasure. She has a solely sexual role for many people. And the true beauty and mystery of womanhood has been crushed and lost. The true beauty and mystery of womanhood as wife and mothers and provider to their children has been lost and crushed. One would hope that the spiritual beauty and the great genius in women will be rediscovered, with their original role in the family life will again be found and valued, as will her role in the rule in the world, and her true role in the culture of bringing love and mediating love in the world in our culture. So that's what I say about feminism. It's resulted in the eradication of romantic love. It's resulted in women adopting a tough-edged male personality. It's resulted in the denigration of respect for the women who provide homes and families, and the female role for some time as home creator and maintainer. And in the past, women who were mothers and wives were accorded great respect. And unfortunately, that present role has been sort of denigrated, replaced with a more male role of the tough aggressor and provider. I say this at the end. The woman is today has become a sexual object of pleasure, and the true beauty and mystery of womanhood has been crushed and lost. One would hope that the spiritual beauty and the great genius of women in their role as wives and mothers and home maintainers would be rediscovered and reborn, where the woman's true, valid role in the family life will again be found and valued, as will her role in the world of bringing in love and mediating love in the family, to the world and our culture. That's as much as I have to say about this, and I hope I've made some valid points. I think feminism has its points, and that women should have equal opportunity for employment, but it does result in a denigration and lack of respect for the very important female role as wife and mother, and a bringer of love to the family life. And I do hope that the world and our society will rediscover the very great and wonderful role of women in the home and family, which is, in fact, their most important role and what they have to offer, I think. I don't think a woman becoming a man, a tough-edged aggressor in the workplace, is a particularly good development for the ladies. It really brings about the destruction of their role as family provider and their role as a bringer of love to the family and their children and husband. So that's as much as I have to say about this. I hope you found it interesting, and I think that it's good that women have full opportunities for employment, but I don't think it's good that their traditional role be decimated and viewed with contempt, transforming them into the male image, which is the present situation. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this presentation, and I hope you've derived some benefit from it, as well as from my presentation of what I think of the elements of the Orthodox Christian faith, which, once again, is not a matter of being nice or being tolerant, but is a matter of certain dogmas and beliefs, which have been an integral part of the church and our religion for 2,000 years. Thanks for your help. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation. Good night.